Hey guys, welcome to another edition of the Generation Gap. My name is Nick. With me, as always, is Blake. Blake's side, everybody.
What's up, everyone?
All right, so we got a little business to take care of in the beginning of this podcast. We posted, I don't know, about a week ago that we were going to be recording the next episode, which would be episode number two. But it actually took a little longer to get going than we expected, so we're throwing the shit down today. Just give you a little, I guess, information what happened. My dog actually got really sick, ended up eating a bandage that was on her leg, and actually ended up having to have a surgery to remove said bandage, which again just took up shit tons of my time and tons of my money, but whatever. We love these dogs, they're family, so we gotta do what we gotta do. Now, if you
To me, it
talk to
sounds
Blake
like a
about
bunch of
it,
bullshit.
yeah, that's what I was about to say. You talk to fucking Blake, he basically calls me a pussy and says, "Oh, I just didn't want to do it." Well, fuck you, Blake. All right, so other than that, I mean, I want to thank everybody for the feedback they've been giving us. There was a couple people that said there were some slight audio issues. Once again, we're sorry about that. We are, trying to clean it up. It's only our second show, so through time, we'll definitely get everything locked down and have everything sounding great. If you guys hear a slight echo, somebody said it kind of sounded like we were in a tin can. It's most likely because I'm in a kind of a large room that echoes every once in a while. So again, we'll
Again,
work it out as we
Nick's
go. But
fault. Nick's fault
fuck you,
again.
Nick's fault. You fucking bitch. I fucking can't stand you. I don't even want to do this
Can't
podcast with you anymore, you bitch.
record for a
Unbelievable.
week and a half. Now you're complaining that you sound like a tin can. You're ridiculous.
Dude, I'm gonna fucking burn down your house. I'm just gonna fucking burn down with you in it, you little bitch.
That's
All
fine.
right.
That's fine with me.
Now, whatever, you fucking douchebag. All right, let's get to the show. As you know, last week we discussed we do different generation topics to get perspectives from each generation. If this is your first time listening, we're talking about how I'm 35, Blake's 18, so our opinions differ on every topic that we have because we're from completely different generations. But before we get into that, I have a story. You ready for a story, Blake?
Yes,
All right.
definitely.
Oh God, I kind of made an asshole out of myself the other day, and I figured I would share with all you guys to, see what kind of an asshole I really am. All right. So the story kind of goes like this. I was hanging out next to somebody, just chit-chatting, doing a couple things, and they made mention to me that I should help them clean. And I was like, "What the fuck are you talking about, dude? I got married, so I wouldn't have to clean shit anymore." And this girl turns to me and says, "So what? Your wife's a slave?" I was like, "No, wife's not a fucking slave. She's not black." Now, that in itself, it's a little fucked up, but it's even worse considering I was talking to a black person. So for a
Oh
minute, for a
my
minute,
goodness, Nick, I can't believe you just went there.
Dude, I fucking sat there for like a couple seconds, like, "Oh shit, did they
Oh my
hear? Did they
gosh.
understand?" It was the fucking most awkward moment of the entire night, man.
How did they not kick your ass?
I don't think that they actually quite on caught on to what I said. So I think I may be okay, but I'm still waiting for some backlash because
Oh my
the
goodness.
second I said, I was like, "Dude, that's fucking racist as shit."
That's like extremely racist. Oh my gosh. So that kind of happened to me once too. I got a funny story too. So
What you got?
we went, me and my friends went biking once, and down here in Florida, we obviously have the Everglades, which, if a lot of people don't know, we have a lot of cotton down here in the Everglades, and
Oh.
it grows on these plants. So we were biking, and all of a sudden we came across a huge bunch of plants with cotton on them. So my friend stops to look at one because he's never seen them before, and I said, "Wow, where's a black person when you need one?" Sure enough, this nice black family bikes right past us as I say that, and I just get the nastiest looks by the father and mother, and I could not stop laughing. Like, it was just so funny to me, but
Oh
it
my God.
definitely that is a racist moment. I can't believe you said that. Oh my gosh.
That's right. You know what? Fuck it. I'm gonna throw out one more that I just thought of that is kind of on the same topic, since I believe I already talked to you about this, but it always cracks me up. Years ago, when I lived in New Jersey, I had to attend my grandfather's funeral, and I believe it was either before or after the actual funeral. We're all hanging out in my grandmother's house, and we're all outside talking and, just hanging out. And this caravan pulls up, and out pops an Asian guy with a box in his hand. I mean, first thing I think about is, and I said aloud to everybody, "Who the hell ordered Chinese food? It's a freaking funeral." Meanwhile, the poor guy is literally dropping off flowers for the goddamn funeral. And everybody in front of me, they all looked at me like I was some kind of an asshole, because I just assumed that this Asian guy with a box was bringing some fucking pork fried rice to the funeral.
That is kind of messed up there, Pumpkin. That's a little
It's a little fucked
screwed
up. Whatever.
up.
I'm
I
sorry.
still can't
What
believe
kind
you
of.
said that, though.
Fuck
Oh
it.
my
What kind of world would
gosh.
we live in if we didn't have racist jokes?
Like, can you describe the facial expression of that person? Like, did they just
Honestly,
not catch the joke, or?
I'm thinking they didn't catch it at all. The sad part is, sir, it wasn't even a joke. I wasn't trying to be funny. I was dead fucking serious. Like, slave? She's not black. I wasn't trying to be funny at all. That's what I said. The second it came out, I couldn't even like make it into a fucking joke, dude. I was just like, it was so fucking racist. And I'm like,
So
I keep
speaking of
thinking to
racism,
myself, what's that?
so I said speaking of racism, so
What you got?
recently I haven't found, you and I both know, I haven't found a good TV show to watch. Breaking Bad
Right.
obviously sucks in my opinion. I think
Oh,
it's
dude,
the
you fucking eat my
stupidest friggin'
asshole.
thing
Breaking Bad
ever.
is amazing.
But I started watching Orange is the New Black, and I freaking love that show. It
Love
is
it. I
awesome.
just finished the first season yesterday, and I fucking love that show, man. It's amazing.
Yeah? So, of course, recalling the racist points that we've been making, there was one where Piper gets put into the like the electrical room where she has to work for like 11 cents an hour or whatever,
Yes.
and the one black girl just starts yelling how she's not going to be doing hard labor for 11 cents an hour. It's a bunch of bullshit. So he goes, "Fine, go sit in the cage and hand out tools and do nothing all day." So she goes, "Yeah, fine. Now you talk in my language." And she walks in there, and he locks her in the cage. He goes, "Look, everybody, we got a monkey in the cage." And I just started dying of laughter. It was so
Oh
funny.
shit, dude. I love that. And if I'm not mistaken, like 2 minutes later, he starts like making like chimp and ape noises at her too.
Yeah, scratching his head. Like, to
Now,
me, I'm not a racist. Like, I won't go out of my way to blame blacks or Mexicans, whatever. I don't care what color you are. I'll be friends with you. It doesn't matter to me. But I am always down for a good racist moment or a good racist joke.
thank you.
And,
I mean, it's like I was just about to bring up, we should point out that neither one of us are racist at all before everybody starts boycotting this fucking podcast. All, 27 people that listen to us. But I mean, I'm sorry, dude. These fucking racist jokes are hysterical. Like, they've been hysterical from like day one of ever hearing one, and they're gonna be hysterical till I die. I mean, they're just funny. And it's not just, black, Asians, whatever. It is like all of them, dude. There's white racial jokes that crack me up, dude. It's all funny. I mean, if you can't laugh at yourself, fuck you. Just fucking get a life, dude. I love racial jokes. All
Speaking of
right.
racist jokes,
Wait,
hold
oh,
up. I
Jesus
just
Christ,
had
you got another
somebody
one?
tell me. I had somebody tell me a good one, okay? What's yellow and black and makes people laugh?
Oh, Jesus Christ, what do you got?
A bus full of black people going over a cliff.
Oh, Jesus Christ, sir.
Now,
Oh.
hold up here. I'm just relaying the joke. It was not me who came up
Oh.
with it.
Sir, we
It's
just
messed
lost fucking
up.
like 90% of our listeners with that.
It's
We might as
messed
well
up,
just
but it's
fucking stop
hilarious.
recording right now. Oh my God, that's fucking awful. Jesus. All right, you know what? I'm stopping this whole conversation right now before fucking like Jesse Jackson calls us and we have some fucking issues. All right. Let's get back to the fucking generation topic. I'm telling, dude, fucking NAACP is gonna be fucking knocking out of doors. Something bad's gonna happen soon.
Ooh, yeah,
Jesus
definitely.
Christ. All right, so this week, Generation Gap, like we talked about the last podcast, we're going to be talking about the best lyricist of our generation. I absolutely love this topic. I think it's a great topic. I was gonna go first, but fuck it. I want to hear who you got. Who are you picking for your generation for best lyricist?
Oh goodness. All right. So let me start out with this first. When I was young, because it's kind of ironic, but when I was around like 5 years old, you know, the general age where you just start picking up like what music is and things like that, what the radio
Right.
is, my mom always told my sister and I to stay away from rap music. Don't listen to rappers. They're a bad influence. They're not good for this world. Whatever, whatever. And that's how I always lived by until I turned like 11 or 12 years old, where my music kind of like grew out a little bit, you know, of listening to my mother's pop music or whatever the hell she was listening to on 97.9. So it grew out of that, and I did start getting into rap music, and my sister did a little bit, but then she got more into country. But I started becoming an Eminem fan, not because he's white. Speaking of our racist talks that we just
Fucking
had,
racist.
I started picking up Eminem just because he was different than everybody else. His lyrics were completely different. It was nothing mainstream. It was nothing that you'd listen to and it would make you feel happy. It was just something that you listened to and like you respected his talent of what he can say, and that's what led him to be, you know, one of my all-time favorite people. He's my freaking hero. And he's definitely my favorite lyricist of all time, without any question about it. Eminem, he's just so far apart to anybody else's music that I listen to that it's astonishing. And since a lot of people do ask me, I did come up with my top three songs by him, which I will give out.
All right, what do you got? What's your
I don't
top?
know if you I don't know if you heard of them. But number three definitely is Role Model. I don't know
Okay.
if you heard that.
I
Number
have.
two is Medicine Ball. And
Oh, I love that one.
number
That's,
one
if I'm
pretty
not
much.
mistaken, that's the one, the Medicine Ball one. Isn't that the one where he's like making fun of Christopher Reeve in the beginning of it and shit?
Yes,
I love
that's
that
the
one.
one. Number one, this is kind of like his fan favorite. So I put it up there. I mean, I definitely like it. It's just that creating a top three list for me is just so hard because I love every single song that he's put out.
Right.
But number one is Lose Yourself, which a lot of people don't know. But this song, I think, was number one on the top 100 charts for about a good 3 or 4 months. It was that popular. It's like
Well,
one of the
Lose Yourself,
most
that's from
popular.
8 Mile, is it?
Yeah, it's one of the most popular songs ever, like, written, basically.
I mean
And
that one
so.
right there, I love that song. That song was absolutely amazing when it came out. I mean it. Every time I hear it, I'm totally singing with it. It's great. I absolutely love that song.
Definitely. And the other reason, like Eminem, he's such a popular rapper, but if you ask a lot of people of our like day and age, they don't really like him because his music is like too crude. Like he has a certain audience that attracts like to him that listens to it. And you either have like the die-hard Eminem fans that love every single song by him, or you have the people that can't stand him because he's too inappropriate and it's just weird listening to.
Fuck them.
Exactly. That's how I feel. I mean, when I listen to Eminem's song, I think they're just the funniest things in the world. Like I laugh like hysterically during the whole song, and it ends up being a really good song. So we both like Medicine Ball. So one of my favorite lyrics from it is it's like in the second verse of the song, and I'm not gonna rap it because there's just no way. It's not gonna happen. So it starts off, "All my West Side bitches throw it up, put a balloon inside your pussy, queef and blow it up." Like, when you think about that, like,
I fucking a love it. Great.
Like, the first thing that comes into my mind is, like, why didn't I think of that? Like, why do I not have that mindset? Like, I wish I could think like Eminem. And then the second part of me thinks, like, oh, that's kind of messed up. But it's also very funny to me. And just all of his lyrics, like, come off in, like, this horrific way. But he makes them to where they're funny. Like, dig her fetus out with a wire hanger, then digest her. Like, that's... Like, honestly, I don't even know what to say about that. It's just amazing, like, the stuff that he says and gets away with, and I love it. So, taking a break from Eminem, let's hear what you got.
Well, real quick, I wanna hit up on Eminem for a couple seconds. I won't go to mine. What I love about Eminem is that he's a fucking storyteller, man. Like, you read his lyrics out, you know, and like you just talked about the fucking throw a balloon into it, whatnot. The lyrics you just wrote out, I mean, it really puts an image in your head. You know, ergo, it's a fucking kind of a sick image and whatnot. But the second he's rapping about something, it really puts an image in your head of exactly what he's talking about. You see this shit. I mean, he is such an amazing storyteller. I mean, my all-time favorite song of his is, without a doubt, The Way I Am. I love that song, man. I hear okay. it. I absolutely love it. I love the hook to it. I am whatever you say I am. If I wasn't, then why would I say I am? In the paper, the news, every day I am. I fucking love it, man. To me, it's Eminem. It's who he is. He's basically saying, fuck you. This is me. Take me or leave me. I don't give a shit. I'll be whatever you want me to be, but I'm always going to be me. I'm going to do my Definitely. Thing and my thing only, and fuck you all if you don't like it. And that's what I love about that guy. And that's what I respect about his music. I mean, every song he has, like you said, a lot of people look at his fucking music and be like, dude, you're fucked up. You're crazy. Why are you rapping about this shit? And actually, I think it was, Relapse? I think it was his album Relapse, where you have, I guess what's supposed to be his agent or whatever, coming up on like the phone, and he's talking about how, dude, I can't sell this album. You're talking about your stepfather raping you, and what's up with Christopher Reeve? And it cracks yes. me up, because so many people, you know, feel that same way. But I mean, all you have to really do is listen to his music, and you'll see exactly what he's trying to do and what he's trying to accomplish. And you just gotta, you know, forget about the rest of the shit, because, I mean, he's a fucking genius. There is no doubt yep. about it. He is a fucking genius.
And he's had a major influence on me, just because, even though how depressing his songs can be at sometimes, when you listen to it, it makes you feel like you're living such a better life than what he had when he was younger.
Right.
It kind of gives you that boost, and that's definitely what I used a lot through high school. I would just turn on an Eminem song, and everything around you just kind of fades away, and you just get, like, this emotional connection with his music. And when you said that about the song, The Way I Am, he actually had a really great quote that I remember from a long time reading ago. And it was, I say what I want to say, and I do what I want to do. There's no in-between. People will either love you for it or hate you for it. And that pretty much sums up just who he is. I mean, when's the last time Eminem has made a song to promote actual, like, music, you know, like, of something that catches our generation's eye? I mean, you think about it, never. Like, a lot of these music artists just produce songs that are kind of catchy and sound good for people to buy. But Eminem, he doesn't put stuff out there unless he loves it and it's about him and it's what he wants to say. It's never about what anybody else wants to him. It's about his hobby. And, you know, if he never made any money on these CDs, he'd still be rapping. Like, there's no question about it. I mean, he doesn't care if he makes $40 million from a CD or $160 million from a CD or $0 from one. He's always going to be rapping because that's what he loves to do. And I feel like a lot of music artists now just get their music out there, and they do it for the money, which, you know, isn't a bad reason, but it's not really your passion. And when you listen to an Eminem song, you can really see and hear that it is his passion, and that's what he loves to do.
Absolutely. You know, like you said, the money plays a big part in it. But Those are the kind of musicians that I can't stand. When you're talking to anything has to do with music or, rapping, whatever the case is, it's an art form. You have these people that go out there and they do something that, 90% of us can't do. I couldn't fucking sit here and come up with a rap off the top of my head. Even if you gave me like 3 weeks to write one, I might be able to put something down, but there's no way I could pull it all together and actually make it into something that people would want to listen to. Actually, I take that back. I guarantee you, if I was like, "Hey, Blake, I came up with a rap today," I guarantee you people would want to fucking hear it, just make fun
You
of me
see,
about it.
people would want to listen to it because it's so shitty and funny.
Exactly. That's the only reason people would want to hear that shit. But I mean, I hate the people that fucking just they throw shit out there. One of the main things that I've always gotten irritated with is like all these pop artists, fucking like the NSYNCs, the Britney Spears and all that shit. Half these people don't even write their own songs. Like so many of these
True.
albums that supposedly are theirs are other people writing the songs, bringing it to them, and having them sing it. That's bullshit, man. If you can't write your own music, you can't, fill up an album with solely your music, your ideas, then what the fuck are you doing in the business? You shouldn't be a fucking singer then. And that's what I love about Eminem. His shit from start to finish, it's all him. It's his thoughts, his fucking psychotic images and whatnot. It's all fucking him. And I love that. And that's what brings me to the guy I chose for best lyricist of my generation. Because this guy is. He writes all of his own shit. I mean, he is fucking the quintessential lyricist. I mean, he is amazing. And that, of course, is Kurt Cobain of Nirvana. This guy is just amazing. I loved everything about him growing up. I was with him, let's see here. I want to say the first time I ever heard Nirvana, I was in the maybe freshman year. Freshman year is when I actually started hearing them. It was probably about when Teen Spirit came out, and I absolutely loved it. It just, everybody, oh God, it's hard to explain. I've got like so many things in my mind with him. Everybody listened to it, and whether you understood what he was saying or not, you felt something. It just, his lyrics, his music, everything about him moved you and made you kind of move into a different direction of what society was actually going to at that point. And I mean, the guy is just an absolute genius. And one of the things that I love about him is that he comes out and he throws just these amazing songs out at you. And like I was just saying, you half the shit. I just came up with one of these songs I absolutely love. It's called In Bloom, one of my favorite songs. I've listened to this song, I've sang the song fucking 100 times over. I never really caught on to what he was saying in the song. It's interesting. One of the lyrics is, he's the one that likes our pretty songs. He's the one that likes to sing along. He likes to shoot his gun, but he knows not what it means. I literally just found out 2 weeks ago that he's writing that song for the people who call themselves fans, who listen to his songs and listens to the lyrics, but they have no idea what the fuck he's talking about. Like he was basically all sorts of pissed off about people who, listen to Teen Spirit, listen to All Apologies, In Bloom, like all these songs that you're listening to, and you're basically just dancing to it mindlessly and have no idea what he's talking about. Don't understand him. Don't get where he's coming from. Just basically don't fucking care about the band itself. And I always found that to be impressive that this guy cared so much about what he was putting down on paper to share with people that he was literally making fun of the people who didn't get it, writing his own fucking songs, man.
That, I mean, see, that's what I love about artists like that, is that they just have like a way with their words to where only true people that really listen to their music understand them. And that is pretty funny because me personally, I love Nirvana, but if you asked me that, I would have had no idea that he was making fun of me and the other people that listen to his music that don't know what he's talking about. I mean, I listen to Nirvana, and it is true. You listen to Smells Like Teen Spirit. I don't know what the hell he's talking about. It's a
Not,
good
no fucking
song.
clue.
I like it. everybody just figures that he's like some meth head or drug head, whatever you want to call him, that just knows how to play a guitar with his buddies and record music to make money. And it is sad, and a lot of people don't understand what his lyrics actually mean, I myself included. But he has this image. I don't know what he did, because I wasn't around in his time. He died a year before I was born. But the image that he gives on today, I mean, you always see that iconic picture of the face with the two X's and the tongue hanging out. And everybody loves Nirvana. I mean, it's pretty much a worldwide band that everybody knows about, and you don't really see that too much. A lot of people don't know bands anymore, but if you were to ask what Nirvana is, they pretty much know what it is, and they could tell you a couple songs by them. So they definitely did earn their credit. I mean, they are a very famous group of people, and I love Nirvana too. I've always been a Kurt Cobain fan. I wish he was still around today, but you know what? His daughter's living and happy with his money right now.
You know, it's fucking, it cracks me up. I was actually just looking at an article about his daughter. His daughter's actually turned out to be kind of cute, man. I'm surprised, because Courtney Love is a fucking crack whore, but whatever. You know, you were talking about how even guys or people your generation right now know who Nirvana is, know who Kurt Cobain is. You know, I was, you know, Googling Nirvana coming up with this topic. And, you know, I was going through a lot of the Nirvana videos, and I came across the MTV Unplugged. Now, I've watched this several times in the past, and yeah, I had no intentions to, but I literally ended up watching the entire show. And I absolutely love it. What I love so much about that show was that whenever somebody goes onto an Unplugged or, you know, some kind of a fucking broadcast where you're just going to go out there and play a couple of your songs, almost every band I know immediately goes for, like, their number one songs. If not a number one song that they've had in the past, it's going to be the song that they're just getting ready to release, get everybody excited for it. Nirvana didn't do that. They played some of their, you know, hit songs and whatnot, but other than that, they played a bunch of other songs that barely anybody listened to. Nobody really knew. They did a lot of covers from other bands. I mean, he was just like, you know, fuck it. I don't care. This is what I want to play, and this is what I'm going to play. And actually, if you listen closely enough, at the end of the Unplugged, Kurt Cobain is talking, and I guess, you know, he's talking to a couple guys, talking about what they're going to finish up the Unplugged with. And you hear somebody in the audience scream, like, Teen Spirit. And he was just like, no, fuck it, I'm not playing that. We're going to play this, and I'm going to end the show like this, and fuck you if you don't like it. It just, it's great, man. I always respected how he wasn't going to let, you know, the business dictate what he does with his music. His music just meant everything to him, and I absolutely loved what that means. And that Unplugged is still ranked, like, number one after all these years. It's still ranked number one, and I mean, it's amazing. Even if you don't know the songs he's playing, and I'll be honest, I didn't know a bunch of the songs that they played on there, and I was just absolutely mesmerized. I mean, just his charisma, his talent, just listening to him sing, it's unbelievable. He has one of the most unique voices, and the way he sings the songs, it's just, it's fucking mesmerizing.
I feel like every, like, one out of every 10 years, there comes a band or a pop singer, a rapper, country singer, whoever. One out of, like, every 10 years is caught by everybody's generation, and everybody remembers them for years to come. Like, the Beatles, for instance. I mean, how big are the Beatles? They're still huge today.
Oh, huge.
You still go into, like, restaurants. We have a restaurant down here, the pizza place, Mellow Mushroom. They have a big mural of mm-hmm. the famous poster of the Beatles walking across the street. And I feel like Nirvana is one of those bands that people will remember for a long time to come. And even though they weren't the most fan favorite of bands, they're just so widely popular for their music, and they're so well respected. And just like Eminem, I feel like Eminem is just that one person. Or Tupac as well. Tupac is just that one rapper that, you know, even if you don't listen to rap, you know who Tupac is. And I feel like that's the same way with Eminem. You don't have to like rap, but you know who Eminem is. I don't like the Beatles, but of course I know who they are. That's just the way Nirvana is, I think, now coming across, like, to, especially in this new culture that we have with the Taylor Swifts and the Rihannas, the just all the other pop singers that we have out here. And for Nirvana to still remain as, like, a hit favorite, it's pretty incredible. And I definitely have a lot of respect for them. But anyways,
I'll tell you, man, it's real quick. What's really starting to bother me a little bit is that you know, we keep losing these fucking people just way too early. I mean, obviously, we lost Kurt Cobain through suicide and whatnot. I mean, you know, while you're talking about how these guys, like, every 10 or so years, you get somebody who just fucking comes out and speaks to people in ways that they've never been spoken to before. And you feel them like nothing before. You know, it kills me. You know, I think about, you know, like Amy Winehouse. You know, I didn't really know many of her songs, didn't really follow her too much while she was alive. You know, I knew a couple of them, but I mean, dude, I listened to that song Rehab, you know, almost, I don't know, 3 or 4 times a week. I fucking love it. You know, I hear it and it's just, it's amazing, man. I'm so saddened by all these people that we have to lose over and over again that are such fucking huge impacts in, you know, how we grew up and how we live our lives. It drives me crazy.
And one thing that I kind of want to talk about, since we're on the subject of music, and a lot of people are going to know about this because it pretty much went viral, but I want to hear your opinion on Miley Cyrus.
I fucking knew it. Oh, God. You know, I wasn't going to talk about her only because, fucking, like you said, it's viral. Everybody's talking about this bitch, but fuck it. You know, let's give her a couple minutes. This fucking bitch, she is fucking crazy. Like, what the fuck was she thinking? You know, my favorite part out of all the videos and the pictures that I've seen so far, my absolute favorite part is when they show a screen capture of Will Smith and his family. Have you seen that?
Yes.
Oh,
yes,
my God.
I saw that.
His entire family is just sitting there like, oh, my God, what the fuck are we looking at? I fucking laugh hysterically. It's absolutely perfect. Oh, my God. I kept thinking to myself, oh, you know, it can't be that bad because I didn't see it live. I had to YouTube that shit. But I was like, it can't be that bad. I mean, come on. Fucking really? It's fucking Miley Cyrus. And I watch it. And I see her fucking put that foam fucking finger in between her legs and start, like, fucking gyrating and jerking off. I was like, all right, the bitch has gone too far. I couldn't fucking believe it, man.
One of my favorite parts was when it showed that. Like, after she ripped off, like, that one-piece bathing suit-looking thing to where she was basically in, like, a sports bra and, like, nothing of shorts. And it showed the picture of her messing with the foam finger. And then it went to it went to the voice from the guy from Anchorman going, why don't you go back to your house on Whore Island? I was just dying when I saw that. I could not stop laughing. But after a couple days, I mean, I couldn't go through the whole video just because I know Miley Cyrus back from the Disney Channel days when my sister would watch Hannah Montana and things like that. So I couldn't really just get myself to watch the whole thing. But I will tell you, it was one of the most awkward performances that I've ever watched before. Like, I just felt weird watching it. I felt awkward for her. But at the same time, she kind of puts on the persona of, you know, this is me. I don't care what people think. I'm going to do what I like, and you're just going to have to accept it. And it does kind of point to the generation that we're in now and how hateful and how much hatred we could show to somebody just by not agreeing to society's standards. And obviously, Miley Cyrus is nowhere near society's standards after that, whatever you want to call it, of a performance. But I do give her credit for having the audacity to go out there and do something like that. And, you know, nobody else can do that. And you see a lot of the stars' faces, like, when they were watching that. Like, oh, what is this girl doing, you know? And I do feel bad in a way for Miley Cyrus, but in other ways I do feel like she took that a little too far, especially at a CMAs event where you, or not CMAs, sorry, when you're at a big award show like that and you have families and things, like that's a big deal for some people. I mean, that's a very popular award show. So for you to do that when families and stuff are watching, it kind of shows your immaturity. And so at some times I do feel like punching her in the face for doing something like that. But in other ways, I do feel like that she needs to deserve a little less hatred than what she received from it.
Well, you know what, dude? This is my standpoint on it. I don't respect the bitch one bit. I can understand somebody, you know, with the mindset of, look, I'm going to come out, I'm going to do me, this is who I am, take me for what I am, or don't take me at all. My personal opinion on the fact is that she went out on that stage for the simple reason of trying to draw as much attention to herself as possible, man. She went out there, tried to fucking be crazy and flamboyant, give somebody something they're going to remember and talk about forever. And that, to me, annoys me. I'm all for the person who goes out and does what they want to do for a simple fact because they want to do it. You know, you look at Eminem. You think fucking Eminem is going to come out on stage and fucking, I don't know, rip off all his goddamn clothes and fucking start doing all this shit just because he wants people to laugh? Dude, he goes out, he does things because it's who he is. He doesn't fucking sugarcoat. Look at... Fucking prime example. Look at when Eminem does a concert or does any kind of a live show. What does he usually wear? It's almost always a pair of jeans and a white t-shirt, maybe some kind of like a jacket beater over top of that. Yeah. He doesn't fucking dress up in all these crazy fucking flamboyant, sparkly fucking glittery pants and fucking big looking clown shoes and just like all this fucking just crazy nonsense you don't need to put on a show. He goes out there and lets his goddamn talent, his passion, his energies go out there and rock the show for him. He doesn't try to do all this other bullshit that these other fucking poppy little pussies try to fucking do to make their show better than what it is. I would have had so much more respect for Miley if she just fucking came out, sang the song, fucking danced a little bit, whatever the case is. It would have been tolerable, but She fucking went way too far with this whole thing.
True.
And the only thing I respect out of all this is the fucking just countless pictures and video clips that everybody has fucking doctored to put her in. I just saw one today that I laughed for a good half hour, man. My friend posted a picture on Facebook of where Miley was, she was in that pose where she was bent over and fucking grinding up against Robin Thicke. And they took out Robin Thicke and put a camel over top of her. I was fucking laughing hysterically, dude. He has got this fucking camel nailing her from behind, and I was fucking dying. That's the only reason I even care about this story anymore, is because I just have fucking days of laughter looking at all these pictures and shit.
One of my favorites was the picture of Billy Ray Cyrus with a concerned face saying, "I should have pulled out."
Yes, I posted that one the other day. That I was fucking awesome. Dying, man. I was like, it's fucking perfect. You're looking at Billy Ray Cyrus, man. The motherfucker came out with achy breaky heart. He's ashamed of his daughter. You know that shit's pretty bad.
You know,
motherfucker was rocking a mullet for his entire career. And he's looking at her, that's ashamed, dude.
Looking at Miley, like, I feel like most of the hatred she gets nowadays is because she was associated with Disney Channel. So people still picture her as like this 15-year-old girl that lives two different personalities. And I think that part of the problem is none of us have really grown up to see Miley Cyrus as like a 20 or 21-year-old girl yet. And but she definitely did take that performance way too far. Now, if that was at a concert... A concert's a little different. If she did that at a concert, I really wouldn't care as much. But when you do it on that big of a reward show, that's insane. And that's just too far. That's complete immaturity. And for that reason, screw Miley Cyrus. On to our next topic. done talking about that lady.
Bucket, next topic. Actually, it's become one of my favorite parts of all this. Actually, you know what? Fuck that. We're going to hold off on that because I just remember there's another thing I want to talk to you about real fucking quick. Now, I love Ben Affleck. You love Ben Affleck. What do you think about him becoming the new fucking Batman?
I think it's going to be awesome. I know you don't think so, but I think it's going to be awesome. I love Ben Affleck. I think he's a great actor. And even though we really haven't seen it in one of his movies where he plays, like, just that complete badass, like, role where... I mean, I guess you can say... See, the reason why I think he'll be good is when you watch a movie like The Town and you see him play the role in that movie, I think that he can live up to that, like, badass name of just complete awesomeness. I mean, that's what I get from Batman. Just some tough, like, rigid person that isn't feared by anything, and I think it's going to be awesome seeing him.
What do you think? I actually, you mentioned earlier that I kind of disagreed in the beginning, which is true. The second they announced that Ben Affleck was going to be Batman, I was like, are you fucking shitting me? This fucking guy is going to be fucking Batman? I was like, you know, Daredevil fucking sucked ass. How can, you know, this guy be Batman? But, you know, I've given a lot of thought, and I've actually changed my mind. I think he's actually going to do a decent job on it. I'm looking at Daredevil. Actually, I fucking YouTubed a couple clips of Daredevil and was checking it out. He's not a bad actor by any means. He's been in some shitty movies. There's no doubt about that. But, I mean, overall, he's a fucking amazing actor, especially, you know, in his recent films, Argo and The Towns. I think what happened with Daredevil is that, first of all, you fucking have Colin Farrell as a fucking bad guy. Fucking ridiculous. Then you throw in Jennifer Garner, who I think is fucking a horrible Elektra. I think it was bad casting and bad directing. I don't really blame that movie on him at all. And then also, I was listening to a podcast yesterday called Hollywood Babylon with Kevin Smith and Ralph Garman, and they talked about it for a little bit. And Kevin Smith is obviously a huge fan. He's a good friend of Ben Affleck. And he brought up, you know, interesting points that I didn't really think about. You know, he was talking that once Batman, whoever plays Batman, once he puts on, you know, the mask, the cowl over his face, how much of his face do you really see? You know, the costume itself does a lot of the acting for you. And I think that's going to work out well. Plus, another point they brought up was that in this movie, he doesn't have to be the main attraction. As a matter of fact, he's not the main attraction. It's a Superman movie. So Superman's going to have to pull, you know, all the heavy lifting. And I'm sure Batman's going to come in as well, but it's going to be more of a secondary role. So he doesn't have to pull as much weight in this fucking huge movie. So I mean, against my better judgment, because I was fucking really against this, I'm actually starting to enjoy the idea of Ben Affleck as being Batman. I think he might be able to pull it off.
I think so, too. I think it's going to be great. I love Ben Affleck. I haven't seen his more popular movies. Argo, I watched a little bit of it, but I just couldn't get through Argo. I don't know why. What? I just didn't really like it. All right,
first of all, Argo, fuck yourself, because that fucking movie was amazing. I fucking love that
movie. I know. It's just weird. For me, watching movies, like, a lot of the most highly rated movies that people loved and have seen, I haven't really enjoyed. And it's weird. I don't know why, but, like, I don't know. Like, maybe I'll have to try it again and watch it. But when I first watched Argo, I don't know, I just really didn't get that into it.
I enjoyed it. My excuse me. My wife hated it. She didn't enjoy it at all. Didn't like it whatsoever. I thought it was fantastic. I thought it was clever. I thought he did an excellent job in it. I absolutely loved that movie. You mentioned The Towns earlier. The Towns, fucking amazing. I love that. And you know, people. I was actually just talking to somebody earlier this morning. One of our coworkers and I were talking about Ben Affleck being Batman. And he brought up, he kept saying, oh, well, I don't think he can be a badass. And the first thing I said was, did you not watch The Towns? He had so many parts in that movie where he was a badass. He wasn't the kind of badass where he was all screaming and freaking out and trying to be all fucking, oh, I'm gonna beat your ass kind of guy. But he just he emoted so much emotion out of his face and just the looks he would give people when he was talking. And he's just an incredible actor. And I don't know. I think he can totally pull off the badass role. I mean, he's done action movies before where he's had to be a little fucking crazy like that. I mean, look at the movie Phantoms. I'm positive you haven't seen Phantoms because that was like one of his first movies. But I mean, that movie right there, he was playing like a sheriff in like a small town and whatnot. And I mean, it's just, I thinking about it, the more I think about it, I think he's gonna do great. No matter what, the fucking movie's gonna make like a fucking $1 trillion. I mean, who the hell wouldn't want to go see a Batman Superman movie? We've all been waiting for this, so
Oh,
no
yeah.
matter what, it's gonna be a fucking number one movie.
All right, so going from our movies, you know what time it is.
Oh shit, yeah, let's do this.
Okay, guys, so from one, we really like doing them. I think they're gonna be a fan favorite. I think so. I think a lot of people like them. But there are would you rather questions. We do three of them a week. Well, maybe three of them a podcast would be a better way to say it. They could be anything dirty, as you heard last week that Nick asked me that I still hate him over. They could be disgusting.
The
Doesn't
dreaded
matter.
question
Anything
number
goes with these
three.
questions. So what's you want me to start off or you want to start off?
Go for it. Hit me with one.
Okay. All right. I'll start you off with my first one. Would you rather eat a bar of soap or drink a bottle of shampoo?
Huh. Let's see here. Fuck. How big's a bottle of shampoo?
Just a regular size bottle of shampoo.
You know what? I'm gonna go with the shampoo. The
Yeah?
only reason I'm going with the shampoo is because growing up in my fucking house, I mean, you cursed or you did something fucking nasty, talk back to your mother, you took a bite out of soap, and that shit fucking sucked. I'm not doing that shit ever again. So I'll go with the bottle of shampoo. Oh God! Either way, to have fuck. You know what I'm thinking? Well, if I fucking drink a whole thing of like shampoo, do when I
Would
fucking go to
suck.
piss that shit out, am I gonna like fucking start pissing bubbles?
I honestly would go for the bar of soap just because I couldn't get myself to drink soap like when I or shampoo. Like when I think about it, I would think about like something nasty that I don't want in my mind and it's gonna make me like puke. So I would definitely go with the soap for my pick.
I'm telling you right fucking now, dude, from experience, I bet you get down more shampoo than you do soap. Fucking soap is horrendous. Fucking anybody out there that has ever had a mouthful of fucking a bar of soap, it's fucking, oh, it's so bad. I'd rather lick my own asshole than fucking take a bite out of a bar of soap again, dude. Like, it's
All
fucking horrible.
right,
Fucking
let's hear your
horrible.
question then, Pumpkin.
All right. Let's hit you with this one first. Okay. Would you rather be a midget or paralyzed from the waist down?
Well, people know how I'm paralyzed, or how I was paralyzed.
Yeah, doesn't matter. You could have been born that way, accident, whatever the case is. Doesn't matter. You just can't move your shit from the waist down.
I think I'd rather be paralyzed.
Really?
Yeah, only because nothing against midgets,
Oh,
but
fuck, dude.
as
Now we're racist midget haters?
hey, that's prejudice. That's prejudice. Completely different.
I'm sorry, little people. Little people. Fucking
Anyways,
little people.
it's just like the I wouldn't you get less attention being paraplegic than you would a I think that's the word for it, right? If you're paralyzed, a paraplegic.
Yes.
Okay. I'd rather be you get less attention being a paraplegic than you would being a midget. Plus, I get to skip all the lines at attraction parks for being a paraplegic.
Right, fair enough. Decent answer. I have a little side question on this one.
Okay.
Okay. Now, if your wife or girlfriend became paralyzed from the neck down, would you still have sex with her even though she can't feel anything?
Of course.
Fucking A, sir. I tell my wife all the time, I don't care. If you're fucking paralyzed from the neck down, I'm still having sex with you. I don't give a shit. It's
I
happening.
thought you were going to ask if I was still going to stay with them. That's what
No,
I
fuck
thought it was going to go.
that.
I don't know. Honestly, all right, let's say you're not married to Tina. If you were engaged with a girl and she became a paraplegic, say paralyzed from the neck down or whatever, would you stay with her?
At least long enough to have sex with her, then I might ditch her.
That's messed up.
It's all right. It's a little fucked up. Look, I don't know. It's hard to fucking say because, look, you obviously you're engaged to somebody, you love them. There's no doubt about it. You want to spend the rest of your life with them. You've made that decision already. But I'm sorry, if you fucking taking care of somebody who's fucking paralyzed from the neck down, that's fucking horrendous.
It would honestly depend on how old I was. If I was a young kid, like right now, engaged to a girl that became a paraplegic, I might not stay with them, but I would definitely still be in their life to where I don't completely mess them over. And to me personally, I think the girl would understand. I mean, if I was a paraplegic, if I was paralyzed from the neck down, and I was engaged to a girl, and I obviously would want her to stay with me because obviously that would be the love of my life, but I would definitely understand her reasonings for not wanting to be with me. And it.
Fuck that. Fuck that. Dude, if I'm fucking paralyzed from the neck down and my fucking woman leaves me, the first thing I'm doing is gonna fucking hire somebody to go on Facebook for me and start blasting this bitch. This bitch has no heart. She's leaving me because I can't fucking move. This is bullshit. Fuck her. Gonna leave me because I can't move from the fucking neck down. Fuck you. Where the fuck's your compassion? At least I'd want to have fucking sex with you before I left you.
Now, you see that you just took it too far
Fuck that,
there.
I took it too far. It's bullshit, sir. Look, all I'm
Say.
fucking saying is, I don't know. Maybe it's a double standard in my eyes. Because, I mean,
So
I'm
wait,
not gonna
hold
lie.
up. Hold
I
on
leave a
here.
bitch. What's that?
Okay. So you would leave a girl, but you'd be extremely pissed off if the girl left you.
Yep, that's exactly what I
That's
said,
messed up.
sir.
That's messed up. I hope Tina hears that, and I hope she gives me a slap to your face for that.
I tell Tina this shit all the time. You know what cracks me up? People are always like, "Oh, I'm gonna tell Tina." Whatever I say to you people, I tell Tina. I tell Tina everything.
All
I
right, you know
don't
what?
even
Screw
give a
that.
shit.
Next question, asshole.
All right, next
All
question.
right.
What you got?
This is a good one here. I like this one. Would you rather die? Now I know which one you're going to pick. Would you rather die as a nobody, meaning nobody comes to your funeral? Nobody. You don't know anybody. Or would you rather die as being like a notorious villain as a like an Adolf Hitler?
All right, good question. I'm probably gonna choose the one you don't think I'm gonna choose. I'm actually gonna go die a nobody. You know why? 'Cause I fucking hate pretty much everybody around me. I'm so fucking annoyed and over everybody's fucking bullshit that I'd almost rather just die a lonely guy out in the woods somewhere. Just me in the fucking woods, man, and
Okay.
be done with this shit.
So what happened to you wanting your 15 minutes of fame?
Sir, this is my 15 minutes of fame. I guess I'll tell people this. A good friend of mine, a fucking best friend, he out in the best man at his wedding, and he just took me to Orlando last month to see a podcast that we both absolutely love called Jay and Silent Bob Get Old. And just today they finally published it, and I'm fucking, dude, I'm hearing myself talk to Kevin Smith and Jay Mews, man. That shit right there is my 15 minutes of fame. I made Kevin Smith laugh, bitch. I got my 15 minutes. I'm good to go. But other than that, I want to fucking die somewhere out in the woods by my fucking self, like a fucking miserable old dog who just limps out into the woods and lays down and lets his life expire.
You know what? I would agree with you unless I knew what I was going to be notorious for. If I was Let's say if I were
You're
to
notorious
die.
For fingering little kids.
Okay, yeah, exactly. You see, then I pick die as a nobody. When you put it that way. But if I were to die the same exact way Adolf Hitler did, with killing millions and millions of people, then no, I'd rather die as a nobody. If I was to die, you know, say as being a Al Capone, hell yeah, I'm going to die as being an Al Capone. But it would honestly depend on the crime for me to pick that. So
okay,
I would
wait
probably...
a minute. Wait the fucking minute, sir. Okay, so you don't want to be Hitler because he hated people and he killed millions of people. But you'll be Al Capone, who hated people and just killed hundreds of people. That's
whoa,
fine.
Whoa. Hold up, okay? Now, I am an Al Capone expert here, all right? I know what I'm talking about with Al Capone. He did the things he did to keep his family afloat. Now, as much as people want to disagree to agree with Al Capone, he did it for his family. He didn't do it for the money, or, well, he did do it for the money for his family, but he didn't do it just to be a gangster because that's what he wanted to be. So, I respect Al Capone. I like Al Capone for the things that he did. And when
you
think about
it... Are you fucking high? Are you fucking sniffing glue?
I'm sorry?
Are you fucking sniffing glue? Are you huffing the fucking paint? Are you smoking the fucking ganja? What the fuck is the matter with you? You know how many motherfuckers this guy has killed? Are you kidding me? He did it for his fucking family.
To protect his family, he killed them.
Oh, come on. Dude, so what about a fucking... We found out that Jeffrey Dahmer actually didn't kill people because, you know, he didn't like them. He killed them because his family was hungry and he just wanted to feed his family. So he started feeding his family people. Are you out of your fucking mind?
The guy
was a fucking notorious gangster. He killed, like, hundreds upon hundreds of people.
But why did he kill them? Why did he kill
Who
them?
Gives a he shit?
Didn't,
he fucking killed them all.
He did not
Are
kill
you
them.
Crazy?
He did not kill them because they didn't serve him the right dinner for that night, okay? He killed them because they were going to kill him. I'm sorry, but if I found out that you wanted to kill me and you had a hit list against me, then I'm going to kill your ass.
Hey,
I'm
asshole,
not dying.
Why did they have a hit list on him to begin with? Why? Because he was fucking killing people.
This no, that's not
up,
why, okay?
Yeah, this motherfucker comes up, and he starts taking over territory, starts building up what he wants to fucking do. All this fucking prohibition and whatnot, gets everything up there and whatnot. Are you fucking kidding me? I mean, don't get me
what
wrong.
Is, when
he's
think,
not
what
the worst
was wrong
guy in the
with
fucking
what he
world,
did?
But he's still a fucking horrible guy.
No, he's not. Okay,
oh
now listen.
God.
Just listen for a second.
I'll listen to Puppy. Educate me. Please, educate me.
What he was wanted for, what he was most notorious for, was trafficking in alcohol during the Prohibition stage, okay?
Right.
He wasn't importing drugs. He wasn't doing anything to where it's freaking alcohol, okay? Alcohol.
But,
something
okay,
that
now,
all Americans drink nowadays. Something that
right.
happened
well, hold
a
on
long
a second,
time
though.
Ago.
You keep talking about alcohol like it wasn't a big deal. It's not drugs. But back then, it was fucking a huge problem. And it was considered as bad as drugs are today.
No,
granted, alcohol
no.
nowadays is nothing. But back then, alcohol was considered a fucking huge problem. And that's why they fucking threw in the whole prohibition thing.
The only reason why it was considered a huge problem was the events that happened around it. Now, bringing in alcohol, okay, Al Capone didn't just bring in, you know, whatever he could find, nasty stuff that probably killed you with one sip. He didn't bring in anything that was not filtered or anything like that. He brought it in, he served it, he sold it to the different bars and stuff that were around. And the people that he killed were the people that were trying to kill him because he was the leading trafficker for alcohol. Now, if it was different, if he was, you know, I don't respect gangsters at all. He's practically the only one that I will ever support or whatever for what he has done. But he wasn't bringing in, you know, drugs like marijuana or cocaine or anything like that that actually causes a harm to the United States. It's freaking alcohol, something that everybody drinks nowadays, something that is widely bought throughout the United States. And for him, you know, it's just stupid for people to think that he was such a horrible, horrible, horrible person for what he did. Okay, because the reason why and the only reason why he brought in alcohol into the United States was because his family was in such a shitty position because their father died, who was the moneymaker for the family. So at 14 years old, this kid had to find out a way to start making some money for his family. What was popular back in the day? Brooklyn gangs. So he joined one, and eventually he became this very popular figure for importing alcohol. As much as you want to hate him, as much as you hate him for killing people, I don't give a shit because I support Al Capone. So there you go.
You're a fucking lunatic. You are a fucking lunatic. I don't get it. So let me ask something, buddy. All right. So what you're basically telling me is Al Capone, he isn't that bad of a guy because he was just trying to do something to make, you know, a better life for his family and what he believed in, correct?
Correct.
All right, Pumpkin. So how does that make any other asshole, fucking Saddam Hussein, fucking Hitler, Bin Laden, all these fucking people who had the same exact beliefs that they need to do the things that they do to better preserve their way of life and what their family needs and what society has to be to raise their family, you know, properly. All these guys, they're all fucking psychopaths, sir. They're all, every fucking one of them.
That's completely different.
I understand what
different.
You're saying.
Now,
that if you do bad things to help your family out and that's all you're trying to do, look, I respect that. I get that. But you're still doing bad things. That's
okay.
My whole case in point.
Now, people like Saddam Hussein and all of them, no way in hell do I support them. I don't want it to come out that way because, no. Saddam Hussein, Al-Qaeda, all of them are a bunch of freaking idiots that just know how to run explosives, okay? They don't know how to read their own Bible and the Quran. And they take it as a way where if you're not going to promote their religion and be a part of their religion, then they kill you. That's pretty much how the Al-Qaeda thinks about their racist acts or whatever.
Yeah, but
okay.
That's not the point, though. So that's not the point. The point of the fact is that it's the principles behind what they're doing. Obviously, you know, as opposed to the actual events that these assholes have all been a part of, yes, they're fucking crazy. They're very far apart from what Al Capone has done. But what I'm trying to fucking get my point across is that they all did it for the same exact principles. They did it because of something they believe in. They did it for what they believe is to make the world a better place for them and their family. To, you know, if they fucking think that, you know, Americans are fucking the devil, that we're all evil, and that we're going to corrupt society to a point where their families aren't even going to be able to, you know, live a proper life in their own eyes. You know, it's shit like that. It's all the same fucking kind of principles. That's the reason
why
I can't get behind your Al Capone. Because,
so
again,
let me tell you this.
I'll
ask you this question. Now, say you and Tina have a family of 12, okay? All right? They're all living under one roof.
Right.
Tina doesn't have a job. She stays at home to cook for the kids, to clean the house, to do those things that they did back in the 30s. You're the only one that works for that family because your boys are too young to work. Now, you get fired from your job back in a time where you had the dirty 30s, you had the Black Tuesday or whatever, when the stock market completely crashed.
Right.
There's no jobs anywhere. No banks are hiring. You can't find any work anywhere. The only option you have, you're maybe the only option you have to where you can bring in money for your family is to work for an illegal group. Would you do it?
Here's the point, Pumpkin. To answer your question, I don't know. Probably. It could definitely happen. But does that make me any less of a bad person for doing the things that I do? Absolutely not. Doesn't excuse anything I do. But to sit here and tell me it's it's the only chance that people have is just crazy. I mean, you keep talking about the 1930s and whatnot when all this shit was going down. There's plenty of people. Everybody in that time was struggling. Fucking people who were famous for doing, you know, huge things back then when the Depression hit, fucked up their entire lives. You look at that fighter, James J. Braddock, Cinderella Man. Have you ever seen a movie, Cinderella Man, with, I think it's Russell Crowe?
No.
Okay. You look at that. James J. Braddock, he was a professional boxer, okay? He was great at boxing, great athlete. Depression hit. He wasn't getting any kind of fights. He was fucking completely broke, down on his luck. He was, you know, taking jobs down at the dock, you know, unloading boats and cargo ships, shit like that. He just did whatever he could to, you know, keep his family alive. I believe he had, I forget how many kids he had. I want to say like 3 kids or some shit like that. Living in like the fucking ghetto. Fucking bringing home just like little bits and pieces of like bread to feed his family every day. Having the heat turned off on him all the time. Living in squalor. And he just kept pushing forward, pushing forward. He tried to pick up fights whenever he could. And then he ended up fucking restarting his entire career because he refused to give up. He refused to do the wrong thing. He refused to go into, you know, gangs or, you know, start stealing things, whatever the case is. He did whatever it took to get himself back into the ring to make money to secure, you know, a better life for his family. Now, don't get me wrong. I totally get, dude, that there's going to be issues. I mean, me, myself, dude, I grew up in a very poor situation, dude. I don't know if you ever knew this family, but I started off in, like, foster homes, in and out. I was taken away for my parents because we didn't live in, like, the greatest of conditions. I mean, for a little while, me, my brother, my mom, our stepfather lived in a car. I mean, it was horrible. We lived in fucking squalor for a good portion of my, you know, younger years. But somehow we didn't break the law. We didn't, you know, go and rob people. We didn't kill people. We didn't try to import, you know, alcohol or drugs, whatever the case is. Family just kept pushing forward. Did whatever it took to survive, you know, keep a roof over our heads and get everything going on. Here I am, 35 years later. I got my own place, married, loving life. Well, not really loving life, but I'm fucking, you know, I'm definitely happier than I could have been. To me, there's always an option, dude. There's always an option.
There is, and, you know, I do respect Al Capone for what he does, but when he got put into jail and everything, did he deserve it? Yeah, of course. What he did was illegal. The things he did, you know, are still frowned upon by me. But, you know, when you look at it in the... I read a book written by his great niece, and I just recently finished it, and you know what? Coming from her perspective of everything, yeah, you know, it really did suck for her growing up knowing that she was a Capone or whatever. And a lot of places didn't hire her at work or anything. He really screwed up his entire family after that, even though he did bring in a lot of money. And the way she talks about it versus the way other writers talk about it is completely different. And she says, you know, at first I hated my great uncle for what he did to my family. And now that she's matured or whatever about it, she does respect what he did for the family at the time. Because she said that there really wasn't an option for her family. So that's what the Capone brothers got into. And, you know, they became the best at it. And they did what they had to do. He was never happy about, she even said, he was never happy about killing the people he had to kill. But he killed them because the only way that they were going to survive was killing those people. So that's the reasonings for the death. That's where I end it. So let's go on to your next question.
All right, let's see what we got here. No, it's actually your question. I know, wait a minute.
I just
asked
you
3 questions, right?
No, I asked you 2.
No, I thought you started it, right?
I've done two so far, my soap question and my notorious question.
Oh, that's right. All right, all right, all right. Fuck it, my fault, people. All right, here we go. This is... okay, this is one I got off the internet. I was looking through some questions I passed, so I thought it was kind of interesting. So let's see what you got on this one. Would you rather prevent 9/11 or prevent the deaths of any three people you personally know?
9/11, by far, without a doubt.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Without a doubt.
So you're telling me that you can prevent the deaths of, say, yourself, your mom, your sister, a grandparent, you know, somebody close to you. You would definitely pick preventing 9/11 over saving, you know, a couple people that are close to you.
Definitely. Because eventually you are going to come across death. It happens. So if I could save three people towards, I mean, I'm not even sure how many died actually in 9/11, but the total is up there. Who am I going to pick? What happened to our country after that? You know, it was a real emotional toll on the whole country, whether you had people die during that day or not. And definitely. I would definitely pick 9/11 over that. Definitely by far.
I got to tell you, man, I might actually go the other way with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I could see it both ways, you know. It is a tough question because you do have your loved ones, and even though I don't know anybody that died in 9/11, it is a tough question to ask, but when you think about it...
Here's my thought process, sir. I thought about this question immediately. The first thing I thought of, what kind of an asshole wouldn't fucking save the lives of, you know, fucking, I think it was like 2,300, 2,800, either way, fucking 2,000 to 3,000 people who fucking just needlessly lost their lives in that horrific fucking incident, man. I mean, it's by far one of the worst things that ever happened in the United States, hands down. Now, this... Oh, God. I'm trying to fucking say this so I don't come off like a huge fucking asshole. I just don't think there's any way around it. My problem is, yes, we prevent 9/11, okay? But if we're ignorant enough to think that another 9/11 isn't going to happen, it's ridiculous. I honestly believe that no matter what, these types of instances are always going to happen. These events are going to happen again, and they're going to be repeated. Who knows if it's going to be even worse next time. I mean, we just had the Boston bombings not too long ago. Look at all this shit's happening in Syria right now that, you know, we might fucking strike against them. I mean, just there's so many issues going on in this world. It's just like, fine, I can prevent one event from happening, but then what for at this point? And don't get me wrong, I don't want to see anybody die like this. I want to be able to save as many people as I can, but if it came down to it, considering where our world and our society is at the moment, knowing that I may prevent this from happening, but tomorrow something else even worse could happen, I might actually consider just trying to save, you know, my wife or, you know, my brothers or, you know, my mom or whatever the case is. I don't know. It's hard to say because, like,
you do
I
have
lived
a
in
point
New Jersey.
With it. Because I can
lived
agree
in New Jersey
with you.
During 9/11, and I mean it hit hard up there. We knew tons of people that were affected. I mean, I was literally right across, you know, the water and seeing the smoke from the towers, and I mean it was horrendous. There's no doubt about it. But
it's true, and I can agree with you on that because when you think about that, you know, how even though 9/11 was such a big event in our history, how much did we learn from 9/11? I mean, how much, like, are the airport system should have been how it is now, how it was in 2001? I mean, when you think about how lax it was to get on a plane back in 2001 compared to it is now,
right?
You know, and if we didn't have that event, what would it be like today, you know? And I feel like we, even though it did affect us a lot, we did learn a lot from it. And so I could definitely see your reasonings there.
It's just, you know, like I said, it just no matter how horrific things are, there's always just something, right around the corner that could be even worse. I mean, for the longest time, everybody looked at the Oklahoma bombings as, just horrendous. And then that was drastically overshadowed by 9/11. And then even, although this didn't overshadow anything, you have like the Sandy Hook killings where this asshole just shot up a school, and you got the other guy who shot up a theater, and then you got the Boston Marathon bombing. It's just, I really hate to say it, but we live in such a fucked up society and world that no matter what, like I said, we may be able to prevent one, but there's always one right around the corner. And as much as everybody fucking hates America, there's bound to be more shit. So at
That's
this
true.
point, I might just be selfish enough and say, you know what, fuck it. I'm gonna pick my family and hope for the best. 'Cause who knows? I could fucking pick my family, and we could go on vacation somewhere, and that's the next place to get bombed, and we're all fucked anyway. Who knows, man? But that would be my choosing. I'd definitely go with prevent the deaths of any three people that I know.
All right, so I'm going to hit you up with my next question. Now, this one might be difficult for you to answer, okay? So
All
I'm
right,
just
go for it.
preparing yourself. Would you rather drink a cup of your dad's sperm or a cup of your mom's period blood?
All right. That's a good one. Oh, Jesus Christ, man. Dude, neither one of these sound appealing at all. Oh, God. You know what? Fuck it. I'm going with period blood.
Oh my gosh, that's
I'm going period blood, sir.
that's
The
disgusting.
way I see it, I already came out of it. It's a part of me somewhere. Fuck it. That's what I'm choosing. I mean, for no other reason other than that. Because, I mean, they both pretty much suck. But, all right, Pumpkin, which one are you taking?
I'm not answering. It's not my question.
No, fuck you, bitch. You're answering the fucking question, bitch.
Hell no. I didn't make you answer the one last week. I ain't answering that.
What the fuck? You didn't make me answer one last week. I did answer the one last week.
Well, no, you didn't.
Oh, get the fuck out of here. You need to go back and listen to that shit. But you know what? Fuck you. All right. We'll go to my question now, you fucking douchebag. All right. Would you rather give a hand job to a guy in private where nobody else will ever know, or masturbate in front of 10 of your closest friends and family?
Oh my goodness. What kind of question is
Fuck you, sir. You just asked me if I want to fucking drink my mother's period blood or my dad's
that?
fucking sperm. Are you fucking kidding me? You can ask me what kind of a question this one is?
I am by far masturbating in front of 10 people.
No.
Definitely.
Oh my
Definitely.
god, dude. You would seriously rather fucking jerk it in front of your mom and like your grandparents,
Now, you never
fucking
said my
cousin.
mom. You never said my mom.
I said your clo 10 of your 10 of your closest friends and family.
You said or family. So I
I
picked
said
friends.
I I'm Bitch, I'm fucking looking right at it. It says, or masturbate in front of 10 of your closest friends or family.
Well, screw it.
Or,
I'm
I'm
still
sorry,
doing
and
it in
family.
front of them. No way in hell am I grabbing somebody else's junk.
Get the fuck out of here.
No
Dude, I don't
way.
know about this one. I'll be honest. I was a little drunk. I thought about this one. And I'm thinking that I may just fucking give a handy to some fucking random guy and nobody ever has
That's
to know about it.
disgusting.
Because, I mean, dude, the idea of fucking dropping trout
But
and
what if you
fucking
got
diddling
some like
yourself in front of your
nasty?
parents?
What if you got some nasty STD on your hands, which everybody knows is the cause of masturbating? You just look like an idiot. At least I know what I'm stroking, okay? You got no idea what you're
Sir.
walking yourself into.
Oh, so you're fucking just setting yourself up for fucking like years of therapy. I mean,
No.
really?
No
I don't
way.
know, man. I don't know. I'm a little fucking drawn this one, to be honest with you. I don't know which one I pick, but I'm fucking kind of leaning towards giving a fucking handy to some stranger, to be honest with
Oh
you,
hell
because
no. That'll
I
be the
just.
last thing I do.
Well, think about it, dude. You're sitting here in front of friends and family, and I'm telling you right fucking now, your shit ain't getting hard right away. So you're gonna sit there and try to milk that shit and work it for a little while. Meanwhile, all your people are just sitting there staring at you.
Hey,
I
as
don't
long as
know.
I got Kate Upton on my mind, it's working, all right?
Dude, fuck you. I guarantee you, right? Fuck, I will, bitch, I will hand you $1 million right now. There's
You know what?
no fucking way.
Actually,
There's no
actually,
way your
here's what
friends
I'm
and
gonna
family
do.
are looking at you.
Here's what I'm gonna do. 10 closest friends and family, I'm gonna be having you sit front row while I'm stroking the wood, and I'm gonna look dead in your eyes with that LeBron James look. That's what I'm gonna do.
First of all, dude, there's gonna be no wood involved. Your shit's gonna be a fucking just a sloppy wet fucking noodle just hanging down, wondering why you're fucking touching this weird way in front of all your friends and family.
No, sir.
No fucking chance that shit gets hard.
It's
Not a
working.
chance.
It's
It
working.
fucking working. Bullshit. I call
And you're going to
bullshit
be
right
front
here, right
row.
now.
You're going to be front row to see it. How about that?
You
I
know what
already
then,
got you
sir?
your reserve seat.
I'm fucking calling out to all of our listeners, all fucking 27, 15, however fucking many of you fuckers are out there. Let's get together. Let's come around and watch fucking Blake try jerk in front of us and see how long it fucking takes him to get that shit hard. I'm thinking like an hour and a half. I'm thinking either he fucking shafes himself fucking raw where he can't even move anymore, or this shit just doesn't happen. There's
You know
no
what?
fucking chance.
You know what? At least I'm gonna be satisfied with myself knowing that I didn't have to touch somebody else's junk. Okay? That's how I
No,
feel.
sir. I'm telling you,
And
I don't know
I'm
what
gonna
it's like.
laugh at you the next time I see you and you got some STD on your hand, and I'm just gonna blow you up for it. 'Cause I
But
know what you've been doing.
again, it plainly says in private, well, nobody else will ever know about it.
But if you got an STD on your hand, I'm knowing about it. I'm knowing about it.
Dude,
Just
I
telling
don't
you that.
even get it. First of all, I'm pretty sure you can't get an STD on your hand. I'm not positive, but I'm pretty sure there's no hand
You
STD.
never
I'm just
know.
throwing
You
that
never
out.
know. You could have a little cut on your hand, and you could be going and stroking some guy. Little do you know, he's got some weird disease that you just got in your bloodstream. Boom, an hour, you're dead. Tina doesn't know what happened. She moves in with me, and we're married happily ever so after. Your
Right.
life is
All
done.
right. Now, well, let me ask this part of it then. What about if the guy you're jerking off was actually a woman and it's not really a real cock? What about that? It's a fucking surgically altered cock.
Well, then you're just in a weird situation. How about that?
But would you consider it then?
No, because it's
No.
never going to get hard, and yeah, not even going to go there.
Nah, I'm telling you, I'm thinking I'm fucking giving a handy to a weird guy. That's
Oh,
what I'm thinking.
no. No way in
Abso-fucking-literally.
hell. No way in hell will I be
Abso-fucking-literally.
doing that.
No, I'm telling you right now. There's no way, no fucking way you're gonna get your shit done. No way. There's no, you know what
Let's
Oh,
just
sir.
stop thinking about this right now, because this
I'll
is.
be honest with you, as disturbing it is, I'm not gonna stop thinking about it. I'm fucking off all day tomorrow. I'm gonna like fucking text you tomorrow, like middle of the day, be like, dude, I can't
You
stop
know
thinking
what?
about you jerking off in front of your family.
Next time I see you, I'm just gonna be sending you weird pictures of guys saying, "Is this gonna be the one?" How about that?
Fuck you, dude. I'm just gonna go up to your mom tomorrow at work and be like, you're not gonna believe what Blake wants to do in front of you.
I'm gonna let your mom know to save you a cup for later. How about that?
My mom's gonna listen to this shit. She can hear it all day long, bumpkin.
Well, I hope she saves you a cup to drink before bed. How about that piece of shit?
Fair enough, pumpkin. All right, so I'm looking at the time here. We're about an hour and 25 minutes in, so we should probably start wrapping this shit up a little bit. You have any topics you want to talk about next week for the generation gap or what?
I really don't know. I don't know what we could think about. There's definitely a lot of possibilities out there. I guess we could give it a couple days. We'll let, as you guys, the fans of the show, try and comment on our Facebook page what you want to hear about. Because we definitely, as much fun as we have on this, we definitely do it for you guys. So we want to make sure that we're putting something entertaining out there for you too. So any
Oh,
generation
fuck
gap
them. This is
topics, we
all
gotta
about
let.
me. I don't fucking
Shut
care what
up.
They think. Fuck that.
Shut up. Anyways, just list them in the comments on Facebook. We'll figure out a topic within the next couple days.
Fair enough. I'm down with that. Blake and I have talked about it. We're going to try to lock down, you know, one day a week that we can actually dedicate to doing the podcast itself. We'd like to do at least one show a week, get it out there. I mean, obviously, we're going to run into issues. I've had, you know, dog problems. And after that, we had a real problem trying to link up our schedules. I mean, we're both, you know.
Bullshit.
Of course, you know, go fuck yourself. You fucking little masturbating little fucking homo. I can't even fucking talk to you anymore, you little bitch. But either way, we're going to really try to lock down just one day a week to record the podcast. And then, you know, say a day or two after that, we'll have it up on the site. I'm actually hoping to get this one up as soon as possible. It's Wednesday now. I'm hoping that I can either get it up later on tonight or maybe even tomorrow. So we'll, you know, go from there. And again, you know, if you guys have any feedback for us, please hit us up on the Facebook page. You can find it at the Generation Gap on Facebook. We'll share any links that we have and, you know, just give us some input. Tell us how we're doing. If we suck, tell us we suck. If you think that Blake's a fucking weirdo because he wants to masturbate in front of his mom, please.
You know what? Go drink a cup of your mom's period blood, all right?
Oh, whatever, pumpkin.
We'll end it at that.
Again, I'm telling you right now, I'd fucking rather do the period blood than fucking jerk off in front of her. No fucking doubt.
Well, I'm glad that's the way you feel. Piece of shit.
All right, so let's end this shit. Now, you know, another little bit of business we got to do. We've really got to come up with a good, solid fucking, like, sign-off. We did the always be checking.
How about this? I got a good one.
What you got?
Nick is a dumb asshole. Peace out.
Ah, that's not half bad. Not half bad. I think we might be able to do a little bit better, but it's not half bad.
Yeah.
I got a friend that suggested that we should use check your asshole. It's decent. I don't know if it fits with the podcast itself, but I'm willing to give it a shot. So let's
tell him if he gives us $20, I'll be happy to use it.
You are a piece of shit. That's what you are. You're a fucking piece of shit. But you know what?
I mean, if he likes it so much, he'd be willing to give me a $20 for it. I'll be happy to say it for him.
Piece of shit. That's what you are, sir. Fucking piece of shit. So whatever, we're gonna work on different sign-offs, and we have music coming. We're really just trying to get everything out here. We're only in the second episode, so bear with us. We'll make it a little better. We'll get some more interesting topics working, and, you know, like I said, just keep
giving
us your
input. You see, Nick's taking care of the editing situation right now, so that's why we're not that on point. But once I start taking over the controls, you know, we should be releasing some epic shit. But until then, guys, I'm sorry, but you gotta bear with Nick's editing.
Dude, I'm surprised you can even do a fucking podcast. I mean, I'm surprised you can fucking take the dick out of your mouth for an hour and a half to even sit down and do this podcast. You fucking piece of shit. Dude, you know what, sir? I swear to fucking God, I'm gonna fucking burn down your entire fucking house, man. I swear to God. Your whole fucking house is going up in flames tonight.
You know what? You do that. You do that, and I'm gonna find you a random guy that you can jack off with. How about that?
I see random guys all the time. I'll go out on the fucking corner right now and start jerking one off. What the fuck do
I
care?
Well, then go do it. What are you waiting for? End the damn podcast and go do it.
You come over to my house right fucking now. We'll go out together, find some random guy, and I'll fucking jerk him off while fucking looking right at you. I'll fucking put you down on your hands and knees so you can fucking catch it right in your mouth, you fucking
queer
bitch.
Sounds good to me. And then after, you can wash it down with some period blood.
Fucking A, sir. Not only will I wash that, I'll fucking pour that shit all over me. Fucking rub it all over my fucking man titties and whatnot, man. I don't even fucking care. I'll fucking take all that shit in, you fucking piece of shit.
Well, I'm glad you like to lather yourself in your mom's period blood. How about that? Anyways, we're getting up here on an hour and a half. We should probably kill it soon.
All right. So I'm gonna try our new sign-off for now, and we'll see what everybody thinks.
I don't have any money in my hand, so I'm not saying it.
No, but you sure do have your cock in your hand. So, everybody, check your assholes. Have a good night.